Hello and welcome to a Search Storage podcast on boosting array performance. My name is Mark Lewis and I'm one of the editors of SearchStorage.com. Joining me is Ray Lucchese. This is the last of a four-part podcast series on array performance. Ray is the president of Silverton Consulting. Silverton is a strategy, storage, and systems consultancy based in Colorado. Ray has worked in the data storage industry for more than 25 years. Most of his work has been in engineering and directing the development of new enterprise-class disk and tape storage products. Thanks for joining us today, Ray. Lesson 4 will look at the workload characterization and some final thoughts on array performance. Ray has also developed a set of slides that go along with these podcasts. You can get those slides at searchstorage.com/performance. Okay, everyone, I think we're ready to turn our attention to Ray Lucchese and Lesson 4. Ray?
This is Ray Lucchese, president of Silverton Consulting. In this, our fourth and concluding podcast, we discuss performance monitoring tools, performance intervention timing, benchmarks, and some final thoughts. How do you tell if a subsystem is performing poorly? You must monitor your subsystem and application performance. Ideally, what you need to look at is your overall subsystem I/O performance, LUN I/O activity, the I/O balance over controllers, RAID groups, and LUNs, cache hits and misses, reads versus write rates, sequential versus random I/O, and your workload mix over time. Most Unix systems support the SAR and or IO stat command. Admittedly, these are pretty primitive, but they can provide a snapshot of your server and LUN performance. They can display for each LUN reads and writes per second, kilobyte read or written per second, percent weight, and other LUN statistics. To map these to a subsystem, you need to match the LUNs to each RAID group / subsystem. This is one server's view of I/O activity, and you will need to aggregate this across all servers accessing the subsystem over a number of time periods to put together a good picture of subsystem performance. For a more complete picture, you could turn to operating system database or subsystem-specific performance monitors. ZOS, AIX, HPUX, Solaris, and Windows all have specific products to purchase which can be used to monitor I/O performance across a number of subsystems. Also, DB2, Microsoft SQL, and Oracle have specific tools to measure I/O activity. Moreover, the major disk subsystem vendors have their own set of tools as well. For example, EMC, Hitachi, IBM, NetApp, Ingenio, Dothill, and others all have their own subsystem performance reporting tools available for your use. Personally, I lean to the subsystem tools, but if you have a multi-vendor shop, a single host operating system, and or a single database, you may wish to go after the operating system or database tools as well to see one cohesive picture across all your subsystems. Performance choices are made throughout a subsystem's life cycle, from the subsystem selection through configuration and finally to ongoing workload tweaking. At selection, you have the most leverage and get to choose the speed and number of the disk drives, speed and number of front-end and back-end interfaces, the cache size, and overall subsystem sophistication. Some general rules of thumb. You need to double the cache size to increase the read hit percentage by 10%. Fast drives cost 50% more on a dollars per gigabyte basis than slower drives. Finally, enterprise class subsystems cost 33% more than mid-range on a dollar per gigabyte basis. Mid-range costs approximately 50% more than an entry class subsystem. And please recall that Fibre Channel operates at 90% of peak transfer rates, and iSCSI at anywhere from 50 to 80%. At configuration time, you choose the RAID level and how you want to map or stripe LUNs across RAID groups. You can let default or specify any of the fixed cache parameters, such as look-ahead mount, read-to-write partitioning, and cache mirroring. And you also get to take a stab at I/O balance across RAID groups and controllers. During ongoing operations, you monitor the I/O balance to check for hot LUNs, monitor hit and miss read rates, read and write destage rates, and monitor your use of remote and local replication for their impact on performance. Some subsystems automate performance tuning completely for you. All you need to do is define the number of RAID groups and a starting position for the LUNs, and they take care of the rest. They move LUNs to other RAID groups automatically based on workload history. Their cache parameters are always calculated in real time based on current workload conditions, and everything else is handled autonomously. There are some published performance benchmarks that are available to you. Important thing to know about all benchmarks is that vendors spare no expense to make them look the best. Second, not all subsystems publish benchmark data. You should always request benchmark data from your vendors, and the vendor, when available, may opt to give you a copy. And perhaps if enough of you ask for the data, the vendor may publish it. Block.io benchmarks come out of the Storage Performance Consortium. For NFS file-level I.O., you can look at SpecFS data. I won't recite the numbers here, but realize it's inappropriate to compare different class subsystems. For instance, mid-range systems may not have the best throughput, but they often have the best response time because they have less sophistication and less overhead. For example, LSI, that is Ingenio's E4600, has the least response time I.O. of 1.6 milliseconds. Whereas the IBM ESS 800 is 2.5 milliseconds, a difference of approximately 0.9 milliseconds for the same I.O. operation. There are performance aspects to the host side worth considering as well. Any transfer size you choose should also be compatible with your HPA. You don't want your HPA forcing your transfer sizes to be smaller than what you configure your subsystem for. The host buffer is yet another cache in the I.O. path needing to be tuned. Some host buffers support write-back, a sort of destaging, versus write-through, which forces all writes immediately to a subsystem. Most host buffers support a sync function that periodically or on demand flushes all write data to a subsystem. Some databases have their own cache that interacts with host buffer and subsystem caching, presenting yet another cache to be tweaked. Some operating systems support multi-path I.O., where more than one I.O. path exists from a subsystem to a server. The server can then use all of them to do I.O. operations. Some multipath I.O. capabilities are only used when there is controller or path failure, which provides no performance benefit. And finally, the workload mix is the ultimate server responsibility. Some subsystems support both file and block I.O. Most operating systems support either mode of accessing data. I don't see much difference in workload performance using similar class subsystems doing block or file I.O. You should consider the speed differential of fiber channel versus Ethernet, but barring that, there are probably more operational considerations to deal with here than performance. I can always configure the best performing system in the world, but it will cost you. How much is it worth? Subsystem prices are coming down yearly, so I wouldn't try to go overboard on this. Just configure for immediate needs, allowing for some expansion over the next couple of years or so, and that should do it. The price differentials we have discussed previously are substantial for performance, but with the tools and insights we have discussed, you should be able to make do with less if you have the inclination to take action. For more information, contact the following useful websites. For benchmarking data for I.O. subsystems, benchmarking data for I.O. subsystems come in two flavors, block I.O. from www.storageperformance.org and file I.O. in the form of NFS from www.spec.org. Also, the computer measurement group, CMG, has been active in server and I.O. performance for a long time and can be found at www.cmg.org. SNIA, that is S-N-I-A, is also big on performance and can be found at www.snia.org. And Search Storage has plenty of performance information and can be found at searchstorage.com/performance. If you want even more info, we have a storage array optimization briefing, as well as additional information available on our website. Also, if you want to learn more about any of our services, you can always contact us. We can be found at the web at www.silvertonconsulting.com. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this podcast and have learned a thing or two about this subsystem performance in the process. This is Ray Lucchese, President of Silverton Consulting, signing off.
Great. Thank you, Ray, and we do appreciate your participation in the storage podcast here on searchstorage.com. As Ray mentioned, please go to searchstorage.com/performance. There you'll find performance resources and the companion slides that Ray has put together that go with each of these podcasts. Also, for more information, please go to storagedecisions.com. Storage Decisions is a free conference in Chicago, New York, and Las Vegas. It's free for people who do qualify. For the full program, please head over to storagedecisions.com and you can see who the speakers are, the sessions, and what Ray will be doing at the show. We look forward to seeing you at the offline events and the online events here on searchstorage.com. Hope everyone has a great day. Bye-bye.